Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra daf Kuf Nun Gimel. We left off on daf Kuf Nun Beis Amud Beis toward the bottom of the page. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom of the page. B'surah Masnu Hachi B'Pumbadisa Masnu Hachi. That in Surah the conversation that we just had was as we had it, but in Pumbadisa we had a slightly different version of the conversation. Specifically, what we're referring to is there were a couple of comments, and we're going to have a roundup of all these comments soon. But there were a couple of comments in Piskei Halacha that Shmuel had made, but most recently we had Kasa Vezika Lazev, Kasa Vezika Lazev. You're Kosev, you're Nechasim, a Shchiv Mirab, or Kosev is Nechasim to somebody and was Mezake, it did some form of kin, gave over that Shtar Shchiv Mirab to the person, and then he did it to another person as well. So do we assume? What do we assume? Who gets it? The first guy, the second guy? So Rav said Rishon Kana, Shmuel said Sheni Kana. Good, that was the discussion from yesterday. So says the Gemara, we have an alternate version of this discussion. B'Pumbadisa Masnu Hachin. B'Pumbadisa they said as follows. Amr Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba, Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba said, Sholchu Lemi Bei Rav L'Shmuel. They sent from the Bei Rav to Shmuel. Yilam Denu Rabbeinu, they said, teach us our Rabbi. Shchiv Meirah Shekasav Kol Nechasav La'acherim V'Kanu Miyado Mahu. They added a certain detail to the case. They said, a Shchiv Meirah who writes over all of his Nechasim to other people, and assuming he gives over that shtar that he wrote over the Nechasim in, we're assuming he gave that over as well, but then we add in something that we didn't have before, and that is v'kanu miyado. They did an actual form of kinyan as well on all of these nechasim. Now what's the din? That's the shaila. Rashbam points out, he has a couple of deos, but toward the end of that Rashbam, he points out, ahach de salik mine ka'i, de pligi ravishmo, because of Ezekiel is that, because of Ezekiel is that. The alternate version is as we presented it, an alternate version to the discussion that immediately preceded this one. It is not an alternate version to the discussion of Shmuel and Amr Aleph. We're going to see what the difference is. It's an alternate version to the discussion we just had on this Amud. Good. So anyway, that was the shaila. So what happened? So Shmuel responded, Shalach lehu ein achar kinyan klum. Shmuel said, well, they did a kinyan when he gave over the matna shchiv merah to the first guy. Once you do a kinyan, you can't go back and give it to anybody else. If you look at the last 3.5 lines of Rashbam, Shalach lehu kivin shazikalo v'kanu minei. Kana ve'in yachal lachzor b'matanaso. Then he was for sure kona. You can't backtrack on your matana. V'kol shken lahaknoso la'acher. And then kal v'chomer. If you can't even backtrack on the matana, kal v'chomer, you can't go and be makne it to somebody else. Ve'in omer b'zeh shemelo gomer lahaknoso el b'shtar. We don't say in this case that no, maybe he only wanted the kinyan to work through a shtar after he dies, like Shmuel said in Amud Aleph, and a shtar can't work lachar misa, and therefore the whole thing is void. No, tazikalo v'kanumine. Because he went and he did an active form of kinyan with him. So you don't say that he only wants it to work aliday ashtar, and that can't happen, because he actually did kinyan. Kivin de kulei hai, ava lo havi eliyafos kocha v'kana. Since he did so much, we know clearly he was only trying to strengthen the person's ability to receive, and therefore the person was kona. We don't assume that he only wanted it to work through an invalid means. We assume he did want it to work right now, and by writing the shtar, he only wanted to strengthen the recipient's position. That's the psak of Shmuel in this case. So Savar Minei, says the Gemara, top of Kufnun Gimel Amud Aleph. Savar Minei, they thought from that comment of Shmuel, that Hani Mili Liacher, that's true if he wants to go, and that idea of Ein Lachar Kinyan Klum, that once he was makna it to the first guy, he can't go and divert it off to the second guy and change his mind, give it to the second guy. That's only when he's trying to give it to somebody else. Avali Atzmo, But what if he wants to just take it for himself? He wants to backtrack, not because he wants to give it to somebody else, but he decided he wants to keep it. Lo, we thought maybe that in that case the kinyan is not so final. Then maybe he does have the ability to take it for himself. If you look at the top Rashbam, Savar Minei Hani Mili De'en La'achar Kinyan Klum, this psak of Shmuel, that Ein La'achar Kinyan Klum, Shem Kasav Ezika L'Rishon V'Kasav Ezika La'acher, that if he writes it in his mezakeh to the first guy and then to another guy, the Rishon Kana L'Gamri, that the first one is Kona everything, Gon Shemesh Shchiv Mira, presuming the Shchiv Mira dies, Aval Li'atzmo Yachal Lachzer Bo Im Yamon Mechal Yo, Lo Kana Rishon, Shloya Kinyan El'Machmas Misa. But we would have thought that if he gets better and therefore he wants to keep it for himself because he doesn't die, he gets better from his illness, so maybe we would think the first guy is not Kona, because the Kinyan was only Al-Manas that he dies. That when Rav Huna came from Kufri, he explained Shmuel Shita is whether you want to retract the Kinyan to give it to somebody else, or whether you want to retract it in order to keep it for yourself. Either way, Bein Liatzmo, Bein Liacherim, once there was a Kinyan with the first guy, once you made a Kinyan and you were makna to Ruvain, that is final. You can't take it back for yourself. If you look at Rashbam, Amr Luhu Rav Chista, Bein Liacher, Bein Liatzmo, Velo Damyel de Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel de Amr Biyadua Shlohei Kinyan El Machmas Misa. This is not like Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel, who said that we know that the Kinyan was only there presuming he's going to die, and therefore if he doesn't die, he can back out of the entire Kinyan. Da Hasam Kasa Vikanu, Aval Hacha Zika Vikasa Vikanu, De Kolkach Vade Liafus Kocho. Because in that case, all he did was Kosev and Kone. Over here, he was Zika Vikasav Vikanu. He wrote it, he gave it over, gave the actual shtar over, and did a form of kinyan. So it's a chuta meshulash of activities that he did, actions that he did, in order to be miyapes kocho, and therefore we assume that it's a valid form of kinyan, and that it cannot be undone. Period. We're almost done with this. Someone made a kinyan. Asal kamed Rav Huna, and they went to Rav Huna. They did it was a shchiv mira who did this form of kinyan. He was kasav zika v'kanu. He did all three things, and now he got better, and he wants to backtrack. He wants to get all of his possessions back. So asal kamed Rav Huna. He went to Rav Huna for psak halacha. Amar Rav Huna said, My Yavadach, the low ikness, kidemakna winshi. He said, what do you want me to do for you? You weren't makna the way people are generally makna when they're a shchivmira. If you gave a normal matna shchivmira without being miyapa as kocho over and over again, if you would have just done a normal matna shchivmira, so then you're right. The halacha by a normal matna shchivmira is that if you get better, you get it back, because it's assumed by a normal matna shchivmira that you're only doing it because you think you're going to die. But you didn't give a normal matna shchiv mira. You decided to be kasav zacha v'kanu, and therefore, sorry, there's nothing I could really do for you. So Rashbam summarizes the entire last daf, the entire sugya, in this long Rashbam on the skinny lines over here, about 5-6 lines into Rashbam k'demaknu inchi. He says v'hashta shaminan midalin mili damer Shmuel b'shmaitin dekaimelan kavase bedini. He says, well, Shmuel's shita is important to know exactly what Shmuel holds in each case, because Shmuel is the one we always paskin like, right? We know hilchsa karav bi isuri, we paskin like Rav when it comes to sir v'hater, but hilchsa k'shmuel bedini, we paskin like Shmuel when it comes to dini mamunas. Rav Shachter used to always explain that hilchsa k'shmuel bedini means that Shmuel was the greatest expert in dini mamunas, and Rav was the greatest expert in sir v'hater. It's not that there's any sort of rule that you have to paskin like Rav in sir v'hater and you have to paskin like Shmuel in dini mamunas. Just turned out that Shmuel was right most of the time when it came to dini mamunas. His positions were more accurate in dini mamunas, and they discovered that trend when they paskined each and every case. So that's why hilchsa k'shmuel bedini. But the point is that we need to take stock of all of the statements Shmuel made in our sugya to know what we paskin and what the difference is between each of the cases. So he says, number one, Matna shchiv mira b'dolo shir shiyesh b'kinyan b'lo zika lo as ashtar. You have a matna shchiv mira where you gave away everything, where there was a kinyan but you were not zika lo as ashtar. You didn't hand over the shtar to the recipient. Lo yadana mai edun ba. That's when Shmuel said at the very beginning of our sugya, I don't know what to do about this. And the recipient is not kona even if the Shchiv Merah dies. Why? Right, that was Shmuel and Kufnun Bezim and Aleph, that maybe he only wants it to work through a shtar, but the problem is, a shtar can't take effect after he's dead. It's too late for the shtar to take effect, so therefore nothing happens. It does absolutely nothing. Aval, and now we get to the top of Kufnun Beis Amin Beis. Aval, im yipa es kochel b'ksivas ashtar, o b'tzava d'kasavba. But if he strengthened the recipient's position through the writing of the shtar or through special language employed in the writing of the shtar, such as he wrote in it v'kanina minei mosav al matanta da, then kani amakabel matana, then the recipient is kone shebezel lo nemer lo gomer laknos al b'shtar. In such a case, we wouldn't say no. He only wants it to work through a shtar. A shtar can't work lachar misa. He wrote this special lashon to be miapes kocho, to make sure that the recipient does get it. Not that he doesn't want it to work. He does want it to work. V'hu shemes hanosin. However, that's only provided that the giver dies. Avlim amad choser. But if he gets better, then he retracts the whole thing. Because we know that the kinyan was only there because he was going to die. And from Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, who says that that's talking about miapas kocho, that's where we know that Shmuel's position on this case, on this second case. Right? That when you miapas kocho, then it's going to work, but again, only if he dies. Number three, Ushchiv merak she'amar kisvu utnu mana leploni umeis kosur minosan liachar misa. Ushchiv merak, who says, write and give this $100 to Ploni, and then he dies, we write it and we give it after he dies, like Shmuel said, b'miyapas kocha, avo b'lo yipoy lo kanadein shtar leachar misa. But without being miyapas kocha, then it would not work, because ain't shtar leachar misa. And number four, Vimkasa Vizika Ashtar Lumasra Laza Laraya Vikasa Vizika Laza Sheni Kana Vahadabe Mirishon. Vikasa Vizika Laza Hasheni Kana Vahadabe Mirishon. If he was Kosev and he gave over the shtar to the first guy, and then he was Kosev and gave it over to another guy, so then we assume the second guy was Kona, he's retracting from the first Kenyan. V'hu shemes, but that's again only if he dies. V'im amad choser, but if he gets better, the whole thing can be choser. D'kol mat nashchiv mirah b'kol anachasim b'lo yifoy koch b'shtar im amad choser, because that's generally the rule of all mat nashchiv mirah. Unless you did something special to enhance the position of the recipient, the assumption is that if a shchiv mirah gets better, the deal is off, he's not going to be makna the items to the other person. Hilkach she'nina mikana, dahadabe mikama, avalim kasa v'zika v'hikne. But if not only was he kosev v'zika, but he also did a kinyan, so then he's doing everything he can to be miyapa the koch of the recipient, then ka'amar Shmuel, dekana kama legamri, bein liatzmo, bein liacher, then we assume the first guy is completely kona, whether it be for himself, whether it be for, meaning, and whether the guy is trying to retract in order to keep it for himself, or whether he's trying to retract in order to give it to somebody else, the kinyan is going to work. V'yamamadeinu chozer, and even if he gets healthy, he can't be chozer on that. Once you do all three things, you're kasav, you're zika, and you're kana, then it's the deal is final. There's no getting out of it. Okay, we are now five lines from the top of Kuf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. Hayim matanta dava kasav ba b'chayim u'b'maves. There was a matana that was written in such a lashon, b'chayim u'b'maves. So Rav Amar harehi kamat nashchiv mira. So Rav says, well, he said the word b'maves, so that sounds like a mat nashchiv mira. U'Shmuel Amar harehi kamat nasbari. Shmuel says, well, he said the word b'chayim, that sounds a lot like a matnas bari. So how does each one interpret the lashon? I mean, you can't just ignore one of the words and emphasize the other. There has to be an explanation of why the guy wrote such contradictory lashonos in his shtar matana, where he says b'chayim u'b'maves. Well, which is it? So Rav amar rei kemat nashchiv mira midichsiv ba b'maves. Achar misa kamerle. Rav says, well, how do I know it's a matnas nashchiv mira? Because it says b'maves. B'maves means after he dies. So it's got to be a matnas nashchiv mira. What do I do with the fact that it also says b'chayim? B'haydichsim b'chayim. Simen b'yam l'dechaye. that which he says b'chaim is because it's so negative to write a shtar that only talks about your death. You want to keep it a little bit cheerful. You want to make it a little bit more positive. So you say, you know, when I die, but I'm going to live forever. You know, when I die, but I should live and be well. So you just says a siman tov. You just add in the mechayim. If you look in the Rashbam, second to last medium sized line, siman al chayim kolomar b'mavis dafkahu. Really means when he dies. Umechayim lav dafka, and mechayim is not really part of the important part of the shtar. El the siman tov l'fisha hisker misaso shalarotz l'vtoch piv l'satan kolomar amakom yatzileni michali zev lo amos. Right, we have this concept of Al Tiftach Pel Satan. So because he didn't want to be Posech Pel Satan, he didn't want to say something negative. So that's why, as a Simon B'Alma, he included the positive side of things as well. Right, that's a concept we have, Al Tiftach Pel, that when you say something negative, it gives the Satan ideas. We don't want to give the Satan any ideas, so we speak in a more positive way. So that's why he added in b'chayim, but he really meant b'maves. Ushmol Amar, and Shmuel says no. Harei k'matnas bari. No, this is really like a matnas bari. Midichsiv ba b'chayim, mechayim kamar. Look, he said b'chayim, so it must mean that he means to do this when he's alive, right? That he wants this to be a matnas bari. Aye, why did he say b'maves? And when he said b'maves, he didn't really mean b'maves. He meant that it should be a lasting matana. That's all it meant. But b'maves didn't mean that it should only take effect when he dies. No, he wants it to take effect right away, and therefore it's like a regular matnas bari. Amri Nardai. So Nardai said hilchsa kavase d'rav. In this instance, we paskan like Rav. Normally, we said hilchsa k'shmol b'dini. That's why the Rashbam did his roundup of the halachos that Shmuel taught us in this sugya, right, before this case. He could have waited till the Mishnah, but he did it before this case, because this case is going to be an exception. In this case, we pass them like Rav, not like Shmuel. So, Amar Rava, v'ik sivba mechayim kane. Rava says, yes, we pass them like Rav, where Rav holds that the emphasis is really on the maves, right, and not on, and therefore it's a matnas shkiv mira. So that's when you said bichayim. However, says Rava, if he says mechayim instead of bichayim, well then it's a different ball game. Once he says mechayim, then he's kona. Then it's kona like a regular matnas bari, and you can't backtrack on the kinyan. Amra Meimar less hilchsa kavase de Rava. So Meimar says we don't paskin that way. We're not going to paskin that there's such a difference between bichayim and mechayim. So he says, yeah, we know we don't paskin like Rava. I guess the Gemara has not yet emphasized this difference. Rava sounds like he's saying, if it says Mechayim Kana, it sounds like he's saying like Shmuel, right? So the Gemara says, yeah, we don't paskin like Rava. So the Gemara says, of course we don't paskin like Rava. We already paskin like Rav. If Rava is saying like Shmuel, of course we don't paskin like Rava. Even the Nahardai said that Allah is like Rav, right? Nahardai was the place of Shmuel. And still, everyone said that the halacha is like Rav. So of course we're not going to pass on like Rava. So answers the Gemara, the chiluk we mentioned before. No, ma'al d'tema mechayim modi Rav. Kamash m'lan. I might have thought that mechayim is different than bichayim. That bichayim, Rav would say, that it's considered to be a matnas shchiv mirah. But mechayim, maybe he would say it's considered to be a matnas bari. That might be Rav's position, meaning accepting Rav's shita, that it's a matnas shchiv mirah, maybe mechayim is different. Kamash Milan, that no, that Rav's position would be unchanged, and therefore our position is unchanged, even if you say Mechayim. It doesn't really do anything to change the status of the halacha. Stories. Someone came to Rav Nachman in this type of case, they had this exact situation, in Nahardaa. So Shadre l'kameh, now what would you paskin? So really we already said the halacha is like Rav. So Rav Nachman should paskin like Rav, right? Shadri l'kamed Rabbi Yom Bar Abba l'shum Tamya, but instead he passed up on the case and sent it to Rabbi Yom Bar Abba in a different town. Amar hacha asra de Shmuel hechi navid kavaseh de Rav. He said, out of respect for Shmuel, how could I go and paskin like Rav? This is Shmuel's the Murad Asra over here. So there's nothing it's inappropriate to go around paskining halachos like Rav in a town where Shmuel is the Marada Asra, right? That you're not supposed to do. So that was Rav Nachman's sensitivity. Interestingly, previously we said that the Nahardai paskined like Rav, that the Nahardai were not so concerned about being Shmuel's town. But nevertheless, the Gemara says, no, we're concerned, Rav Nachman was concerned, in Shmuel's town you don't go around paskining against him. This is an important idea in Halacha, that there was something called the Marad Asra, that there used to be that when people had Shailas, like Rav Shechter always likes to lament about, that it used to be when people had Shailas, not everyone went to Rav Eliyashiv for all their Shailas. Obviously Rav Eliyashiv wasn't around hundreds of years ago, but, well, 100 years ago he was, but there's a hierarchy of halacha, just like in a court system. You go to the local rav, and there are local customs and local sensitivities and local customs of how to paskin as well, and that should be observed within each community. Okay, there are issues that are beyond the ability of the local rav to paskin, or should not perhaps be paskin by someone locally. Okay, so then you go higher up on the list, or the rabbi will go higher up on the list. But this was always the way Judaism worked. The age of mass communication has brought us many advantages and certain disadvantages. One of the disadvantages, one of the lesser spoken about disadvantages, is that because the world has become a smaller place, people assume that there's only one Marad Asra, and that's why you have people going crazy before the Mashal, before every year, before Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Now I'm going to get emails. Rav Eliyashiv said you can't wear Crocs on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, so now we have to change the halacha. We have to change the minhag that people shouldn't wear Crocs. Rav Eliyashiv also says you can't wear sneakers on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, but you grew up wearing sneakers every Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Rav Eliyashiv paskins, these types of psakim are based on what the minhagim are in the different communities. Rav Eliyashiv is the posek adar, there's no doubt. But as the posek adar, he doesn't have to paskin every time a milchik spoon falls into a fleshik pot in North Woodmere or in New Jersey or whatever. That's not something he's interested in doing. That's something that the halacha recognizes as the appropriate thing to do. Okay. Anyway, says the Gemara. So someone once came to Rava. Avala Rava Kishmaite. So Rava paskin like he said we should paskin, which was more in line with Shmuel. Have a katar delay. So the woman that came to Rava for the Shaila was bothering him. Why did you paskin that way? No one paskins that way. You're wrong. You shouldn't have paskin that way. Amrle the Rav Papa, Braid Rav Chanan Safre, Zil Kosovla Vikosoba Sokra Leyano Matan. So he told He told Rav Papa, Braid Rav Chanan, who was his sofer, you know what, you want to make this woman happy? Write her a shtar so that she'll think she won the case, right? That she'll think I ruled in her favor. And then just write on that shtar, Sochar Aleinu Matan. What's that phrase, Sochar Aleinu Matan? It has nothing to do with the sugi whatsoever. Sochar Aleinu Matan is a sugi b'mitzia, when you hire workers, and they're supposed to work for you for a day, and they back out in the middle of the day, they just say, this is too hard, whatever, we're leaving. So what are you allowed to do? So in Bab Mitzia, the Gemara says, you could either be Socher Aleihen, you could hire other workers to finish the day's work and take the pay that you have to pay those other workers out of the pay that you had originally agreed to pay the first workers, or Matan, or you can lie to the first workers and say, I'll double your salary if you continue to work till the end of the day. And then they'll work to the end of the day and not pay them double the salary. I mean, they're backing out of an agreement, so you're in a bad position. You could do these things in order to keep them working as per the agreement. So he said, yeah, write that in at the end of the shtar. Why write that in at the end of the shtar? He wanted to make it very clear to anyone who saw the shtar that it's a joke, that this can't be taken seriously. What does Sokhar Leinu Matan have to do with anything else that this woman is claiming over here? We're talking about a Matna Shchemira. It's got nothing to do with Sokhar Leinu Matan. So that's the point. He dafka wanted to make it look ridiculous. And he figured the woman probably can't read Hebrew anyway, so she's not going to be able to detect the difference. And that way, she'll walk home happy, thinking that the psak was in her favor. But no Beis Din worth anything is ever going to listen to this shtar that she's holding in her hand. In fact, Smachlug's Rishonim, whether he actually wrote up in the shtar that she won the case, and then just at the end added the Lashon of Socher Leinu Matan, which is the Pashup Shat, That's how the Rashbam says. Rabbeinu Gershom says no. He only wrote a note that just said Socher Aleinu Matan. He figured, right, it's a question that we showed him, how badly did he underestimate this woman? How much did he assume that she was completely illiterate? Right, according to Rashbam, look, he wrote what she wanted him to write, and she was able to see that, and he figured she'd be able to see that. He didn't think she'd pay attention to how he signed off at the bottom. And since he wrote that extra passage at the bottom, he figured only a dayan would pick up on that. The woman wouldn't pick up on it. According to Rabbeinu Gershom, no, he assumed she was illiterate. So he didn't write anything that made any sense. It's just Sarchalei Namatan, right? It was just, that's all he wrote. He wrote something that has nothing to do, just took a random phrase from Shas and put it into on a piece of paper. And he assumed that she was completely illiterate. Amra Litve Arbe. She said, your boat should sink. I know exactly what this means. So she cursed him. She said, your boat should sink, Rava, because I see exactly what you wrote over here. I know what you did over here. So at Tuyakamatasli, you're trying to fool me. So obviously he underestimated her. She, according to Rabbeinu Gershom, she wasn't. Either according to Rabbeinu Gershom, she wasn't illiterate. According to the Rashbam, she not only wasn't she illiterate, she picked up on the fact that when you write such lashon at the end of the shtar, that he's obviously trying to send a message to other batei din. So she picked up on it. So I'm shinu l'manei d'Rava b'maya. So Rava's friends decided that since she had cursed him that his boat should sink, they soaked his kalim in water as a way of hoping to fulfill that curse in some small measure without having him to pay the full price of that curse, because they were hoping that the curse wouldn't come to fruition because of that. V'afilu hachi lo ifrak mitivah. And nevertheless, didn't help. His boat drowned anyway. The curse was still fulfilled. The Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, in the back of the Gemara, points out that nir be'enai delo kilas chinam havya. The reason why the klala was fulfilled is because it was not a klala for nothing. Because Rava had no right to paskin like himself against everybody else. Once the whole world is paskining, the minhag has become to paskin the other way, Rava should have paskin the other way as well. It's a very interesting discussion. At what point do you assume that you have to start paskin like other people if you don't think it's correct? Or do you say, no, you always have to give your honest to goodness psak. If you think that that's the correct psak, you're obligated to give that psak. Right? So Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, and not only Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, I later found the Ritva says the same thing over here. So it's in Rishonim, says that Rava was incorrect in paskening what he thought was correct. Because once everyone else paskins the other way, then he shouldn't have been so stubborn to continue to paskin in that way that he thought was correct. Rashbam at the very bottom over here says Lo Sparak Meoncha, that the curse happened Da Alte Kilas Hedyot Kala Be'enecha, because a klala from even a nobody shouldn't be taken lightly. Either way, bottom line is that we see that we passing like Rav over here, and it doesn't make a difference whether you say Bichayim, Mechayim, it's not going to make a difference. We see Rav's Ha'arav, the chilik between Mechayim and Bichayim, is not a chilik at all, though we don't pask in that way. But the bottom line, but what we also see is that no matter who it is that issues a klala, it needs to be taken seriously. The Gemara also says that a birchas hediot al teikala beinecha, that when a hediot gives you a bracha, also it needs to be taken very seriously, right? That's Rav Moshe writes. Rav Moshe writes in one of his tshuvas that people would come to him for brachos all the time, and he didn't understand why they're coming to him for brachos. If they would know what he was really like, you know, he says it's because people, he has like a good PR department, and everyone's running around calling him a tzaddik and a talmud chacham. But if they would know that he's not a tzaddik and he's not a talmud chacham and he's really a nobody, they wouldn't come to him for brachos. This was Moshe writing, presumably with a straight face, he was writing this. And he says, I don't know why they come to me for brachos, but I give a bracha anyway when they come. Why do I give a bracha anyway? Because the Gemara says, "Al tei brach sedyot kala beinecha," that a bracha even from a hedyot means something. So you never know. What does that mean? Why does a bracha from a hedyot mean something? Why does a klala from a hedyot mean something? So Moshe explains, because you never know what pushes the right buttons up in Shemayim. Right? It could be that this person has one zuchus that manages to push just the right button up in Shemayim that makes it happen. And even though overall he's not a tzaddik. So it's always good to get brachas from as many people as you can and to avoid klalos from anybody, no matter who they are. I always like to tell the story of the Ragachev. I've told it a million times, where the Rav Zevin writes in Ishim Vishitos that someone came to the Ragachev for a bracha, and the Ragachev did not like to give brachas at all. He was not into giving brachas. So the person came to the Ragachev, asked for a bracha. The Ragachev said no. So the Rav Shavuot was sitting with another Rav at the time, another very prominent Rav. And the prominent Rav said to the Ragachavar, look, the Gemara says, Al te birchas hedyot kalabeinecha, even the bracha of an idiot, of a nobody, is meaningful. So kal v'chomer, your bracha is meaningful. Maybe you should give a bracha. So the Ragachavar said, I have an idea. Instead of me giving a bracha with a kal v'chomer, why don't you give a bracha? You won't even need a kal v'chomer. Right? Then you'll mamash be a birchas hedyot. Okay, but that was the Ragachavar was very sharp like that. But that was his personality. Okay, says the Mishnah, new Mishnah. Lo kasav b'shchiv mera, hu amar shchiv mera ha'yisi, v'hinu amar bari ha'yisa. Let's say the metzius of the conditions under which this shtar were written are unclear. It doesn't say shchiv mera in the shtar. He says, yeah, it doesn't say it, but I was a shchiv mera, and therefore now that I'm better, I want to retract the whole deal. And they say, no, the recipients say, you were perfectly healthy when you gave this to us. Tzarech lavi raya sheshchiv mera haya divra meir. Meir holds, he needs to bring a raya that he was unhealthy, that he was a shchiv mera. Otherwise, we're going to assume that he was healthy. V'cham amr and v'cham say, no, he's the mukhsa, kamotzi mechaveru lafa raya. You want to take away from him, so you're going to have to go bring a raya that he was a bari. Otherwise, we'll assume he's telling the truth because he's the one that's mukhsak in the nechassim right now. Now, both Rashbam and Tosfos point out, not only does it not say a lashon of shchiv mera, it also doesn't say a lashon of bari in the shtar. Right? If it had a lashon of bari, then that would also be clear. The problem is, there was no lashon in the shtar, because normally by a bari, it would say, kad mahalech al ragloi b'shuka. They would include in every shtar, you would think, shtar bari, isn't that the assumption in general when you write a shtar matana that you're a bari? No, they were very clear in their lashonos. They were like lawyers and making sure that everything in the shtar was as clear as could be, so you couldn't make any mistakes. So by a shtar bari, they would actually write that he is a bari. Now in this case, they didn't write that he's a shchiv mera, and they didn't write that he's a bari. So nope, they didn't write either one. If they didn't write either one, so that's the confusion. That's the source of the confusion, and that's why there's room for a dispute. Hahu matanta, says the Gemara, there was a matana dava kasavba that said in it have a katsir varami ba'arse. It said that it was written when the guy was sick and in bed. The lo kasavba did not say umigo mari if to the beis olame. It did not say, and as a result of his sickness, he died. Normally, these shtaros are written, a guy gives a matan a shchiv mera, and then right after he dies, they write up the shtar. Normally, these shtaros are written in that way, right after he dies. This didn't happen. It didn't say that he died from this from this illness, right? And so what? So what's the issue? So says Tosos, Vayarshim ha-yutanim sha'amad. The Yarshim were claiming, his family was claiming, he got better since that illness, and therefore the matana that he gave is invalid, and we the Yarshim, therefore Yarshin him, right? Because yes, he died eventually, everybody dies eventually, but his death was not from that illness, and therefore that original matana that he gave, that matna shchimra that he gave, was cancelled as soon as he got better. Now, they weren't saying that he tried to be chozer on it, the Yarshim weren't saying that we heard him say he's being chozer on it, but they don't need to say that, because he doesn't need to say he's being chozer on it. If he got better from that illness and it was a matna shchiv mera, then it's an automatic chazara. Then automatically the kinyan is not going to be foul. So what do you do in this case? Amar Rabba, so Rabba says, Hare meis, vare kivro mochiachalav. Look, Rabba says the guy's dead, he's buried. So isn't that a pretty good raya that he died from that illness, and therefore the matana is going to be a good matana? That's Rabba's. Rabba says, look at what he is right now. Right now he's dead. We have the right to assume that he died as a result of that illness. Says Rosh Baba, Amar Rabba, Hare onu roen shu meis. Ubasar hashta azlinan. And we look at his current status. Ve'manu al cheskas misaso. And his current chazaka is that he is dead. And if he's dead now, why can't we assume, we have every right to assume, that he died as a result of that illness when he wrote that illness that he was suffering from when he wrote that shtar? Amale Abaye, so Abaye asks on Rabba, what? Just because he's dead now, you think that's a raya? Hashta umma, that's a raya that he died from that illness. Hashta umma sfina sheruban la'avad. When it comes to a boat that's lost at sea, we're typically speaking, most people that are in boats that are lost at sea don't end up on Gilligan's Island, right? They end up being dead most of the time, and nevertheless, we still give Chumrei Chaim and Chumrei Mesim, we still give Chumras in both directions, as if he were alive and as if he were dead. So, Cholin, Sharov Cholin L'Chaim L'Kolshkein, someone who's sick, where most of the time the people get sick, they actually live. Most of the time people survive their illnesses. So Lokolishke, and then for all the more so, we should at least have the assumption that maybe he's alive. How can you, Rabbah, say automatically that the guy must have died from that illness because now he's dead? Just because he was sick, it means he died from that illness? Most sicknesses people don't die from. So if by a boat where most people do die, we don't assume the people are dead necessarily. By a sick person, we shouldn't assume he died from that illness. That's the kasha Rabbah Abaye has in Rabbah. Now, what's the flaw in the kasha? The flaw in the kasha is you're comparing a case of people who are missing at sea. What's their chazaka dahashta? What do we know about them right now? We know nothing about them right now. All we have to go on is their last status, which is last time we saw them, they were alive. Right? We have that to go on, and what happens on boats that are lost, which is a rove, but not good enough to tip the chazaka de meikara that they were alive. In our case, what's the guy's current status? He's dead and buried. He's underground. He's dead. So you're going to tell me, oh, because most people don't die from illnesses that they suffered, this guy must have not died from an illness that he suffered? What about his chazaka dahashta, that right now he's dead? Doesn't that tell you that maybe he died from the illness that he suffered? How could you only look at what rove people who are sick do? What kind of kasha is this? The two cases aren't comparable at all. That's the kasha that all of the Rishonim and Achronim ask on Abaye. What kind of kasha is Abaye bothered by over here? So Rabbeinu Yonah explains that what bothered Abaye is that chazaka dahashta, a person's current status, is typically not strong enough to determine the halacha. Chazaka dahashta always needs to team up with something else in order to make it meaningful. For instance, nidadav beis on beis, classic case. Chef Schmeitzer talks about this a lot. You have a classic case of a mikvah. Mikvah shenimdad v'nimtzu chaser. You measure a mikvah, and it turns out that you had measured a mikvah a month ago, and it had 40 sa'ah. You measure the mikvah now it has 38 sa'ah. You don't know when it lost the two sa'ah that made it possible. And you've had, what did I say, a month, 2 months? Well, you had a month worth of stuff that you toveled in that mikvah. Are they tamei? Are they tar? What do you do? So you have a chazaka to make a kara that the mikvah was fine. You have a chazaka to hashta that it's not fine. So is the chazaka to hashta strong enough? No, you need something else also. What else do you have? The cheskas tuma of the items that were put into the mikvah. Right? They were muchzak as being tamei before they went to the mikvah. You always need something else to team up with the chazaka to hashta. A chazaka to hashta never works on its own. So therefore, that which Rabbah in our Gemara followed the fact that the person died to be motzi mamon is because it's not only because of the chazaka dahashta, it must be because he's also relying on the chazaka of the illness, that the guy died because he last time we saw him he was very ill. Also, when he wrote the shtar, he was very ill. Ah, he's relying on the chazaka of the illness. That's what Abaye picks on. There's no such chazaka of the illness. Because rove of the time that people become ill, they get better. So you don't have such a chazaka to team up with the chazaka dahashta, and that's what he attacks. That's the point that he's really bothered by. Okay, so Amar Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua, Kiman Azla Hashmaita de Rabbah. This shita of Rabbah, who's it going like? When Rabbah says that you follow what he is now, you only look at right now and you don't look at anything else, so who's that going like? Rabbi Nassan. That's going like the shita of Rabbi Nassan. So, D'tanya, we learn in Braisa, mi motzi miyad mi, who's considered the muchzak in this case? Who motzi miyadehen below raya, v'hein ein motzi in miyado ela b'raya, divrei Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov says that a matana that doesn't say a lashon of a matnas bari, and it doesn't say a lashon of matnas shchimera, our case, who's considered to be the muktzak? So who motzi miyadehen below raya? He can take it from them without a raya because he's considered the muktzak, but they can't take it away from him without a raya because they're not considered to be the muktzak. That's Rabbi Yaakov's shita. Rabbi Nassan says, well, it depends.
im barihu alav lavi raisha yishkumira. If he's a healthy person right now, and he wants to say that at the time that he wrote this matana, he was a shkumira, well then he's going to have to prove that, because right now we know that he's not a shkumira. Right now we know that he's perfectly healthy. Im shkumira hu, if right now he's a shkumira, alehan lavi raya shabarihaya, then they're going to have to bring a raya that he was a bari, right? Because we look at what he is right now. So that's the shita. Rabbi Nassan apparently holds that we only look at right now. So that's the shita that Rabbah was in line with. Rabbah says that we look at right now, and if he's dead right now, so then we assume that he died from that illness. Frektosos vim tomer amaylo kamer k'Rabbi Meir de Rabbah gufei mukil kaman Rabbi Nassan k'Rabbi Meir de Masnisin. Why don't we just assume that he's going like Rabbi Meir, right? Rabbi Meir says in our Mishnah, we assume Rabbi Nassan lines up with Rabbi Meir of our Mishnah. Meir says, "Sarich lavi raya sheshchiv mira haya divra Meir." We're assuming right now the guy is alive and well and standing in our Mishnah, and therefore he needs to bring a raya that he was a shchiv mira. That's exactly like Rabbi says. Rabbi says, and if right now he's not alive and well, so then we assume he was a shchiv mira, and you would need to bring a raya that he was a bari. Why connect the dafka to Rabbi Nassan as opposed to connecting it to Rabbi Meir of our Mishnah? So V'yei Shlomer says to us, "Demishum to Rabbi Nassan dainahu v'nachas l'umka d'dina." He says because Rabbi Nassan was a dayan, he was an expert dayan, so we want the dafka to connect it to Rabbi Nassan because we always paskin like Rabbi Nassan. We don't necessarily always paskin like Rabbi Meir. The Taptos was also asked a very important question in the name of the Rivam, that the Kasha Abaye asks from the Svina, from the case of the boat, why don't we ask from the case of Maseches Gittin, Hinichu Zakin Echol B'cheska Shu Kayam V'Ochelz Ishto B'Truma V'Lo Amrina Dil Mameis, that if a guy sends someone to a guy saw a man alive, so his wife, a Kohen was married to a woman, and the last time you saw that Kohen, he was alive, his wife could continue to eat Truma. We don't assume that maybe he died. So why don't we ask from that? Isn't that against what Rabbah's statement over here, that we assume the guy is dead? We assume the guy died from that illness? Says Tosos, Ve'einu Kushya, that's not a Kasha. Da'asim lo meisla b'sof, avalacha meisla b'sof. Big difference is, over here he actually died in the end. In that case, we don't know for sure that he ever died in the end. Inami, another possible answer, all you can prove in that case is that he has the same chazaka as you last left him. But over here we have from the Svina we see that there is this possibility that a person was saved from being in a bad position. Not just that they are the way you left them, but they were saved from a bad position. Okay, let's see the Gemara Vayitzel. Let's just try to get to the two dots. Amar Rav Lazar Lutuma Kimachlokas, that in regards to Tuma we have the same machlokas we just had in regards to establishing whether something is considered to be Rosh Hashayachid or Rosh Hashrabim for Tuma. So and whether and which status it had, if you're Masupak, if your Safik Tuma arose in a Rosh Hashayachid or in a Rosh Hashrabim, we follow the same rules. The Tanan Bika b'Imosachama a Bika during the summer months Rosh Hashayachid the Shabbos has the status of Rosh Hashayachid for the Shabbos. But as a status of Rosh Hashanah in regards to Tumah, and therefore Safik Tumah in it during summertime will be Tahar. But in the wintertime, it's considered Rosh Hashanah both for Tumah and for Shabbos. Amar Rava lo shanu ala shalo avru alav yimos hagashamim. Rava says that's only true if it hasn't already had a winter season while it was already a walled bika. Aval avru alav yimos hagashamim. But once a single winter season goes by, after it was already a walled bika, Rosh Hashayachid l'kan u'l'kan, then it would be considered Rosh Hashayachid both for Tumah and for Shabbos. Okay, we'll stop there. Pick up from the two dots tomorrow.